Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
That's translated you from the kingdom of darkness into light. He sends you back into the darkness for evangelism. Because that is where light is needed, and that is where light is useful, not amongst other lights competing for who is shining brighter, but in the darkness. Amen, somebody. And the reason I need to emphasize this is because a lot of the church does not know how to truly be evangelistic. There is a model of Christians that are only useful amongst other Christians. We have not learned the concept of contact without contamination. And so many Christians avoid contact at all costs because that is their definition of consecration. Being separate from the world, emphasizing their nobility and virtue signaling, maybe unintentionally, or that's just their religious experience, to make sure everyone in their neighborhood knows that they are not like them. And so they live like monks. People know that you exist. They don't know what you're like. And you have no impact or influence or permission of influence in their lives. A version of Christianity that is only useful and serviceable to make sure you and your family get to heaven. But you don't care enough. You are not brave enough to enter into the darkness where your message is truly needed. Even when we go out for evangelism, we scan people. It is people who look responsible that we preach to. Some of you know what I'm saying. And sometimes, when God has to step in by some radical means, you know, or by raising sons who be audacious, or even by dreams or visions, and the truly bad people get converted, some of them will tell you shockingly that no one ever really explained the gospel to them. No one. There are people who have never been preached to. I'm not talking about people in places where there is no church. I'm talking about people in vicinities littered with church. Littered with church. And sometimes, violence is a coping mechanism for low self-esteem. When people have been neglected, they want to make sure everyone else, do you understand, feels, although in a negative way, that they are important. And sometimes, when you are brave enough to share the love message of Christ, it disarms people in a way that you won't believe. Please, are you listening to me? And I don't know how the church will learn this, but I am convinced that we desperately need it. Desperately need this. So the Great Commission literally says, "Go ye into all the world." It's about penetration. Go there. Don't just stay in church. Please, are you with me? Don't just stay in church. Go into all the world. And so, I must develop a spine in my Christianity that can survive amongst unbelievers. Are you with me? Listen, that is the goal. Every evangelist must learn and must train for contact without contamination. Contact without contamination. Hallelujah. Tell the person by the side, say contact without contamination. And when you are doing so, you must pick your battles. You start from the most important thing. And this is one thing the church doesn't understand. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, and please listen. It's very simple, but you may not have heard it before. The earthly ministry of Jesus proved that you don't always have to share all the information you have. Think about that. Sometimes as Christians, we just want to announce it everywhere. I'm not like you. I'm a child of God. This is who I am. This thing you are doing is wrong. If you like, die. And make no mistake, some people take this message to the extreme, not telling people what they need to hear. Circumlocution. That's not what I'm talking about. But at the same time, you see, influence needs permission. The fact that you are right does not mean I will listen to you. What right do you have? And an evangelist must be patient enough to get that buy-in into people so that they can actually truly listen. You know, you've heard what you might have heard it said before. People don't care what you know until they know how much you care. It's true. And in raw evangelism, sometimes you don't have the luxury and you just have to say it the way it is. But listen, Jesus literally, in some instances, will keep quiet. Eventually, his message was clear. I'm not talking about being anonymous, but I'm talking about patience. Please, are you with me? I'm just sticking it up to people all the time. Patience. Picking your battles. Dwelling on the most important thing. Can you be talking to someone who is smoking? I think there was one of the speakers who talked about that yesterday. No, he's smoking. I have never smoked in my life. I will never smoke in my life, I'm sure. But smoking is not a sin. I do not expect a Christian to smoke. But are you aware? But smoking is not a sin. See the way they are looking at me. You listen. Mind you, if I come to your house and find you smoking, I'll ask you questions. Listen, Paul's hardest message against sin, the Bible's hardest messages against sin are to believers. Because now we have the right to hold you accountable. When Paul says, no adulterer or fornicator will inherit the kingdom, he was writing to a church. Do you understand what I'm saying? But look at the true evangelical contact where he was talking to sinners who had not heard the gospel before. The approach was different. The patience was different. See, Jesus talking to sinners. Just imagine a top man of God. Somehow, his paths cross with someone who has five husbands. A lady who has five husbands. How do you think the conversation will go? You know what I've discovered? In our evangelism, we think we're better than Jesus. That Jesus was not radical enough. Then just imagine, if she has many husbands. She now said, no, I have none. How do you think that will go? You will call down fire to burn her left ear just so that she will know that you hear from God or something. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? I have never drank alcohol in my life. I will never drink alcohol in my life. You know, sometimes I jokingly say, maybe when I'm 70, my wife and I will just stay small, make it not be like, say, we come this world, we just die like that. We don't even know. Just. But now, even scientific research has shown that the thing is poison. Scientific research. That even the red wine people are talking about is poison. You say it's good for the heart. You are lying. There is no good in it. Hallelujah. But when I see someone drinking, I have a bigger priority. When time comes, I have enough ground to argue for him or her to stop it. Both scientific and, I dare say, discipleship. Not necessarily from a salvific angle. I'm not talking about, if you don't stop, you won't make heaven. It's not true. That's not true. And listen, some of these people know that it's not true. And that's the problem they have with some of y'all. Hallelujah. Stop trying to shame people into righteousness. Stop trying to shame people. So there are two issues that the church has had with evangelism. Number one is virtue signaling, where we go into the world with an aggressive attempt to show people that we are more moral than they are. We think that's what evangelism is. Jesus himself gave a parable that someone went into the temple and then he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like this other publican. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes. Listen, Jesus rebuked that guy, and not because he was lying. What did Jesus say? Whoever exalts himself shall be abased. See, listen, sometimes the things that you think impress God, he calls it self-exaltation. So how does God want you to evangelize? Look at Paul's language. He said, God saved me, chief of sinners. Paul told his own stories of his shortcomings. He saved me, chief of sinners. So this is the idea. You come into the world, you show your scars, you let them know, I'm not better than you, I'm saved by grace. God who changed me can change you too. That is the proper evangelical approach. Please, are you listening? That is the way to win souls. Paul didn't need to tell people he was chief of sinners. But we would rather go the approach of virtue signaling, constantly proving, you know, at work, your nose is in the air. Nobody can talk to you. But then you know the second problem, not just virtue signaling, is hypocrisy. Now, this is what has made a lot of Christians, and I dare say to some extent, Christianity lose credibility. Because you are the most judgmental, and then they now catch you. You know, and you realize it's a psychological pattern that people who are most guilty about something, they are the most critical about it. It's a psychological pattern. It's proven psychologically that it's your way, your psychological way of removing the guilt from yourself, the burden of the guilt, and placing it on someone else. And so history bears testament to the fact that some people who were the most vocal against some things, it wasn't too long. Emoji. What's going on? You are here? Hallelujah. It's like this message is uncomfortable. Complete this text for me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? It's a law. It's a law. It's a law. Anyone who is a student of history, it's almost a pattern. When you see someone constantly and aggressively hammering against something, it's not always a sign of righteousness. Sometimes it is. Listen, I'm not talking about speaking the truth. We should always speak the truth aggressively. If you're in this church, you must have some value for the truth because you go here. You understand? But I'm saying when you are so unkind, constantly, there's something there, usually. And so those two are a bad combination, virtue signaling and hypocrisy. And mind you, hypocrisy need not be in the exact context of what you criticize. It can be in something else. It can be in something else. Okay, quite all right. We don't see any sexual frailty in your life, but we can't borrow you money and you return. Or in this same office, you are so terrible at work. You're so terrible. We can't depend on you to deliver on your employment contract. So what then is the issue? So listen, the reason I'm saying this is because at the end of the day, morality, especially in the world, morality must not be for morality's sake. That at the end of the day, when Daniel refuses to defile himself with the king's meat, at the end of the day, he must show his working and say, okay, put me side by side all the people who did it, and my results are still better. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are so sanctimonious, but your temper is hot like the sun or like the core of the earth. You can't forgive. You know, there's a believer that I heard of. Someone offended him, and the person came, held him and begged him, please forgive me. And he said, I'll forgive you in 10 years' time. That he should come back in 10 years. If Jesus tarries. Imagine God now says, okay, you know what? You too. It's only in 10 years that grace will be going to count in your life. From now on, you're on your own. What I just said is biblical, by the way. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those. You see that? So, well, these are the issues. So, one more time, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Please open it. Open it as fast as you can, even if we're just going to dwell on like the first phraseology there. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Listen, I want you to know that this is both exciting and scary. And we mostly talk about the exciting part. The captain of your salvation said, go. He has all power in heaven and earth, and he gave you a charge. Go! Meaning nothing can stop you. He has anticipated and put into consideration every opposition that you will ever face. He knows that he has all authority in heaven and earth. He has given it to you, so he says, go. There is nothing out there to be scared of. Now, that's powerful and exciting. Say loud, amen. Amen. But listen, you cannot do this presumptuously. Let me say this. There is what they did not tell you about missions. You know, I was talking to a missionary years ago. He went on his first missionary trip to an African country. So when he got back, I was like, how was it? I mean, the president is in the country right now. How was it? And he said, God saved me. I was like, wait, you mean God saved souls through you, or God saved you? He said, God saved me. I said, what happened? He said, when I got there, first culture shock. In the morning, all the ladies come out to bathe outside. Oh my God. They evangelize evangelists. He said the struggle was real. So now you've left your church, you've left accountability. Nobody knows you. Man of God, you are here to win souls. Now they will win your soul. And I thank God he was honest. You know, many people are not honest. We can't learn from their stories. He said he was in the night like this, looking at the sky, praying. His body was shaking like this. Oh, my God. What is the Greek name for congee? I want to say it since I'm preaching. I want to... He was speaking in tongues, speaking. You know, throughout the night. You know, there's a type of tongues. The interpretation is, God, if you don't save me now. You know. Hallelujah. You see, before you talk about being sent out to the world, there is a type of spine that you need. We don't talk about it well enough. We underestimate the devil. That, What kind of preparation do you need? What kind of preparation is needed? And you know what's worse? In your home country, you are not a star. You're not a star, respectfully. But then when you go to the village, you are a millionaire. Your 200K is a lot. A one-eyed man is a king in the midst of blind people. And all of a sudden, you are so attractive. I'm asking again, what kind of spine do you have to be an ambassador for the kingdom? What kind of training is needed? Turn your Bibles, Joshua chapter 3. Since it's Joshua generation, right? Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And this is what we want to learn. Everybody, please read together loud as you can. One, two, go. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Listen, it is one thing for you to hear, oh, God is going to do wonders amongst you. Listen, this year is going to be a great year. He's lifting you from the miry clay. He's setting your feet on the rock. And all those things are wonderful. But if the prophecy of the goodness of God does not come with consecration, you probably didn't hear God. You heard your ambition. The God of the Bible will always tell you the level of consecration you need to match the level of assignment that he's going to execute through you. There must be consecration. So, in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, he says, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. There must be separation first. Before he even tells them the work whereunto I will call them, separate them unto me first. They must learn. Otherwise, they will embarrass us. And the reason you need to learn this is because without consecration, God himself will stop you from moving forward so you don't embarrass us. You know, I've said this before. There was a man of God I was praying for because I couldn't understand. So gifted, so knowledgeable, and the ministry seemed stagnant. And I'm praying, God, bless this ministry. And God said, no. He says, I'm the one keeping him small. God told me that. Don't worry if you don't believe. He said, if he touches money, he will embarrass us. That's what the Lord told me. And it wasn't too long, I saw what the Lord was saying, clear. Hallelujah. He says, you see, there is a type of greatness that will pierce yourself with many sorrows. It's like a dagger. We will look at your soul like this, there will be hole. Hole inside. You will not be whole again. Yeah, that was good. And I just decided to, once in a while, a little. Hallelujah. So God wants us to prepare. So what will happen to you when you are blessed? Think about it well. Don't just say, I'll be okay. Think about it well. That as you are here now, you just receive an alert. 4 billion. Hallelujah. Some of you will realize you were never celibate. You were just broke. Yes. You're just broke. You can't fund temptation. You can't, you see, the reason we need to talk like this is because God is training us. I'm telling you, this is important. I'm telling you, the moment you have money, you become handsome. Instantly. Ow. So I like your nose. This nose. This same nose. Say, so yeah, I just like the way it's curved. It's nothing like, I've not seen this type of nose before. Prepare. Laugh. You know what I'm saying is true. Thank you for your honesty. It's true. You know, I'll never forget the time I received my first car gift. As I drove out from the house like this, the neighbor opposite that had known me since, had been in the house at least 2 years. He said, good morning, sir. I look back. It's me he's greeting. I said, good morning. How are you? He said, fine, sir. How's the family? Oh, you are interested. You know, some time after, my wife drove to the same place we had been buying something by the roadside. How much is plantain? 2,500. What is happening? The next time, she said, I'm trekking. I want to go and buy plantain. I said, what? Why don't you drive? She said, no. Hallelujah. The reason I'm saying this is because even if it doesn't get to you, people might make it get to you. You never thought it would be a big deal. Oh, it's just a car, you know, but people will not treat it like just a car. You must be ready. Yes. Think about it well. Because there are great effects of blessing without consecration. There are dimensions of beauty and strength that become scary. It's a Luciferian tendency. You look at yourself like this. Ah! Now you have outclassed all your peers. The next competition is God himself. Oh, yes. And your own might not be to say, I will exalt my throne above him. But your own might be to dethrone him in your life. He no longer has a say. Why must I pray? Why must I go to church? It is the same Luciferian tendency. Some people don't know how to handle beauty. Some people don't know how to handle beauty. And you know, when I said it earlier, you laughed. Some of you were giving me judgmental look. It's true. You know, sometimes when I see men of God, don't worry. When I see men of God, maybe talk about their personal consecration stories. I say, thank God, but maybe you don't quite understand. You're not really fine like that. Do you understand? Are you sure you really had options? See, it's an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but we need to talk about it. Listen, because we need to prepare you for a dimension of beauty that many sermons don't address. Nobody told you. When suddenly you glow up, and then the attention increases, and you know that some of the people telling you otherwise, they don't just understand. They can't see it from your perspective. Hallelujah. What do you do? For some of us, it's not the Luciferian tendency. It's the Samson tendency. You are so strong. It can be economic might. You can buy anything. You know, there are stages in life, sir. You move from praying that your salary will not finish before the end of the month to knowing that even if you don't collect salary, you won't be hungry for 3 months, 6 months. Then you move to a point where you can pay your annual house rent monthly and still be okay. Then you move to a point where it can be a goal to buy a house every year. See, there are levels of temptation. You can buy a car every month if you want. If you have not been trained for that level, idleness. You know, one of the most honest people I ever spoke to, I was thanking him for his generosity, you know, or something. He did something. And then he said, sir, if the money does not go to God, it will go somewhere. I laugh, you know. But I went back and I was thinking, that's true. You know, when David was younger, he was still hustling. Every battle he would go. But now, let the boys go. Then you go in your palace. You are in your palace, the balcony, you just stroll. And then you see what you're not supposed to see. And you know what's worse? You are the king. There is little accountability in your life. It seems like you can do it and get away with it. And then you do it. These are the things you need to train for. Prepare for it. I believe that I have a message from God for you. And for some of you, it's a condition. Until you master this, God can't trust you with more. He cannot trust you with more. Samson feels untouchable. Let me tell you something. Strength can make you foolish. A lady is asking you constantly, what is the source of your strength? When you tell her, she tries it. But you still keep talking to her. Do you know it's possible to know that the person you are dating does not love you? And you don't care. You don't want to be honest, Abby. You wake up. Delilah, why am I tired? She thought that was it. And she actually tried it. You kept going. Now they don't bathe your hair. You woke up with Gorima. They don't bathe your Praise the Lord. Because you are powerful, your thirst, even in relationship, has changed. You don't see the bad character because that's not what you're looking for. It's all physical for you. Every morning she's trying to bring you down. You don't even see it. You still keep telling her things. You know, and strong people can still have low self-esteem. You are looking for validation in the wrong places. You confide in people you shouldn't confide in. You tell them things they have no business knowing. Okay, why does Delilah know? Why? You never ask yourself what she wants to do with the information. Until you wake up and your locks are in her hand. Study history well. Greatness doesn't threaten the devil as long as you have a price. It doesn't threaten. There's nothing to be bothered about as long as you have a price. As long as he can still get you, no problem. Be blessed, no problem. And that's why if you don't deal with these things, if you don't deal with it, hallelujah. Because you see, the blessing of God attracts Satan immediately. Blessing is the Greek word euangelion. Not euangelion, eulogia, right? And eulogia means to be spoken well of, all right? So either it's a material blessing or just divine approval. So the moment the skies opened and then God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, the devil came instantly. If you are the son of God. And that just tells you that many temptations in your life will come on account of the blessing of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you have not been told, I'm telling you now, it will attract Satan immediately. Immediately. And the temptation will be to enjoy the blessing without restrictions. Enjoy the blessing without consecration. You are the son of God. Do this. You are blessed and you are not doing this. You are this blessed and you don't have this. You are not going to this place. If you are the son of God, jump from the pinnacle of the temple. Nothing will happen. You see that? Blessing without consequences. You begin to feel untouchable, like Samson. The blessing tempts you to become irresponsible. Do what you like. It's one of the oldest tricks in Satan's rule book. Watch out for it. Please watch out for it. Watch out for it. When you are a lady and you know that everything you would otherwise work for, you can get for free just because you are beautiful. Just because you are beautiful. Especially in this generation, you see people, respectfully, you know, you stand a better chance than they do. And then you look at their following on social media. You look at what they are driving. You look at, if you don't have strong discipleship and accountability, you will start losing your button gradually for the selfie. Because the pressure is crazy out there. It's crazy out there. And so every evangelist must know that the devil is an evangelist too. He has an assignment for your life also. And he will come with a bargain. He will take you to a mountain from whence you can see all the glories of the world. And if you're asking, what kind of mountain is that? I'll give you one example, internet. The internet is a mountain from whence you can see all the glories of the world. You were satisfied until you went online. And the devil is showing you, see what your mates are doing. See, and you lose satisfaction. You lose patience in your process. Now, God is blessing you so much, you don't even appreciate it anymore because of someone else. You are seeing all the glories. Someone in Kenya might be giving you sleepless nights, even if you don't have passports. you can't sleep. Imagine the person... You lose your satisfaction. You lose your gratitude. These are the things to watch out for. Satan is a spirit. He doesn't change. He's still taking people to mountains. He's still giving people bargains. Hallelujah. You know, there was one of my sons, a musician, in a dream about 6 years ago. The devil came to him looking very bright and beautiful and said, you want power? Bow to me. These things are happening. It's still happening. I am telling you, there is a level of skill and blessing. The devil, he must come. It's not the prayer of doom. And he, this time around, he's not coming to attack you. He's coming to bargain. He's coming to negotiate. What did God offer you? Okay, see this one. Why go to a cross when you can just bow? Just bow now. Kingdom greatness by consecration. So what are the lessons that we must learn? Number one, very simple lessons from the responses of Jesus. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Oh my God. I know you've heard this since you were a child. Maybe it was even a recitation in children's church. But can you all chorus that say, man shall not live by bread alone? It means that there is more to you than the car you drive, than the house you live in. There is more to you than material blessing. Listen, if you don't know this, you are not ready for kingdom greatness. It is one of the first things that will be tested in your life. You must know, man shall not live by bread alone. Because stolen bread will come. Stolen bread will come. And so to enjoy greatness the kingdom way, you must be able to put your appetite in check. And you will see people who have bread the wrong way. And you don't envy them. Not all success is success. Please, are you with me? You see, there are some kinds of success that you must never envy. I'm okay the way I am. Man shall not live by bread alone. There are some type of cars, the way the devil is offering it, I would rather trek than have it. If you don't know this, you are not ready. If you don't know, until you know this, you have a price. You have a price. You have a price. You know, some people who think they have consecration, the devil has not just offered them a huge price enough. Hallelujah. You know, I have a son. He checked his DM and someone had sent him Bitcoin wallet with the equivalent of $1 million. He thought it was fake. He checked it, legit. You can spend to stupor. But he knew the person was not pure. Of course, you know, someone you have not seen before just likes you. You know, some of you don't know how to investigate. A stranger just likes you. Sometimes you need to say, wait, oh, come first. What do you want? What do you want? I'm not single. I don't roll like that. Even if I was single, I don't roll like that too. What do you want? It was not a negotiation. I mean, for him to tell me, it means it's done. You understand? You're not doing it. So I said, you know, I hope you're not thinking about it. He said, no, sir. The no was low. I must not hear. I said, hold your ear. I won't bail you. You will go to prison. You will go to prison. Don't touch it. Why steal what God can give you? $1 million for this world. Be patient. Do like this. Everybody do like this. Let me tell you, you know, I've told you before, anything the devil offers you, it means he has seen by divination that God has more for you. So he wants to give you a shortcut so that you can spoil it. So every temptation, use it to gauge. Sometimes it's the devil that will let you know how great your destiny is. If you're offering me $1 million, I must be worth 1,000 times more. You know, there are some things, you know. Oh my God. I don't know if it's true. There's a celebrity now that they were talking about on Twitter. He stole a laptop. You know, and he will wish he can turn back the hand of the clock. He cannot. He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Social media has lied to you about it. But my life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Say this with me. My life does not consist in the abundance of things that I possess. There is more to me than what I drive, where I live. There's more to me. There's more to me. And sometimes it's just cultural hype. You know, I was stroking them on the island last week. I said, some of you are here, you can't afford to be here. You are living in a matchbox in the name of island. The Bible says in the beginning, God separated water and said, let dry land appear. You bring the land back. Yeah? Now, to enter your kitchen, you are swimming. To enter the bedroom, you are swimming. Then you still get pride, island boy.
They are always very proud, island boy.
So islanders are looking at me, I'm playing, no? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, the Spirit hovered over the face of the water. He didn't enter. There is plenty. You know? So anything you are doing inside water, you have yourself to blame. The spirit was not with you. He hovers over. Anything that is over, now you build submarine, you enter. Anything you see, you take. Because you left the Spirit up. He didn't enter with you. Hallelujah. Contentment. You see, it's great gain. Godliness with contentment. You know, there are some people, they will always be depressed. It's not a curse. Someone better than them, they will not be happy. And you know the way God likes to humble people? You will always see such a person. No matter what, your ceiling is someone else's floor. If you've stayed in a multi-story building before, in flats, your ceiling is someone else's floor. Such is life, oh. Such is life. Your net worth, they are using it to spray. And they are chesting it like this. You have seen those videos. Your net worth, they are throwing your net worth like this. Better be content. Calm down. For this life. You know it's true now. They chest your net worth. Your 9 to 5. You went 9 to 5 one whole year. Then someone carries a gun to your house. Just calm down. That's what I'm telling you. There will always be levels in this life. Morning till night with time. That's what people are trying. Hallelujah. Another lesson from the temptation. I will worship no other God. Unfortunately, not everybody learns this in church. Because some churches emphasize results in such a way that our religion becomes syncretism. We mix everything. Have you seen some people? Their pastor is like a Kabbalist. He wants to pray for you. He's mixing things. He will tell you, pastor is giving you a list. Bring honey, bring sugar, bring... Is it church? You know, discernment is so low. Some people need BBC to tell them who a man of God is. For example, you know, I didn't mention anything. Is it not a shame? You needed BBC. You didn't know. You didn't know. That's when you know that members of such a church are not victims. They're not victims. You knew what you were looking for. You knew what you were looking for. Someone's tongues is... that's his tongues. That's how he speaks in tongues. And his shiny eye like this. You know they watch film. Even if you don't read Bible, you know they watch film. Hallelujah. And you don't blame people. Some of you who are judging people, you've not gone through stuff in life. There's a type of trial you say, it's a man of God. Who is false? You want results. You don't care. You don't see the signs. You will explain it. You know, some people are explaining. They say there's abortion clinic in a church. You are explaining. And you see, when you see things like this, don't just criticize, learn. Ask yourself, what can make me break my convictions? Make the vow now, I will serve no other God. You need to make that vow now. Not just when things are comfortable, no matter what I face. No matter what I face. That Job, with all his sores, he doesn't understand what he's going through, but he will not curse God. He will not. He will not. There will always be false prophets because there will always be false Christians. Make no mistake. It is where there is no market, there will be customers. Understand that the prophecy of the end time is that because people cannot endure sound doctrine, they will heap to themselves. False teachers having itchy ears. They are the ones that gave rise. Because there are people begging for deception. Say with me, I will serve no other God. You know, because I've spoken to people. I have people who have gone through stuff. You know, a friend of mine, he was following one of his mentors. This guy is great, wealthy. You know, and he was like, sir, show me the way. He said, you want the way? There are some ways where the conversation is going. Just say, sorry, let me use the restroom. Run. And he said, there's this association. Don't mind what you have heard about it, though. He's professionals. He says, sir, I'm a pastor. He said, we have pastors in our midst. He said, we have pastors. You know, there is one of my sons. He's in this church right now. I don't want to look at him. When he first joined this church, he realized that what he was doing in his company had to stop because they were using him to extort money. So when he went to the office and said, please, sir, respectfully, I don't want to do this again. The staff that they sent to convince him is a pastor in this country. And that one was quoting scriptures. You know that it doesn't really matter. It was a pastor. I help us talk to him. Oh my God. You better be ready. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, they evangelize evangelists. So. they evangelize evangelists. Have you seen? Oh my God. The type of money you will see, the Jesus will be silent.
Jesus. I rebuke you. I rebuke you.
You have to rehearse it now. Stand well. Amen. Not the person by side, say stand well, stand well. Hallelujah. I will serve no other God. Praise the Lord. Then the third one, very simple. I will not tempt God. That seems simple. Maybe for some people you won't understand it, but the context will explain it. What that means is that you will not take your Christian liberty for granted. That, okay, because he has given his angels charge over you, so you jump. You jump. Don't do that. Don't do that. Doing things knowing fully well they are wrong, expecting God to catch you. You know, some people, they want to sin, they'll first pray, Lord, forgive me, as I'm about to do it now. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, a friend of mine preached a sermon that reminded me of something. You know, there was a lady who was in my house for a while. And this timing was strategic because at that time we had about six CCI pastors in my house. I didn't have a house, so we were in my mom's house at the time. All of us were squatting there before church started. And I think God knew the destiny of this ministry. The devil knew the destiny of this ministry and tried to plant someone there. She tried to sleep with all of us. There was none of us she didn't try to sleep with. So I was... I was sleeping like this. I felt a tap. Ah, you did laugh. I forgot you are here. Memories. I felt a tap like this. And I woke up. She was seated on my bed. Please. Sleep with me. Yes. Ha. You know, one of the things that saved me was that I'm just like, this kind of person, know how, you must carry at least one disease. There's no how. Leave spiritual implication. You must carry. There's no. And, you know, when she was done trying everybody in the house, there was one zealous man of God on the streets. She went for that one. He fell. And he caught one very serious disease that God saved his life. So I can't look my life saying, eh? You know, at the time, I didn't know that it was all of us she was trying. You know, and please don't get me wrong. In this context, it was a lady trying guys. Sometimes it's guys trying ladies, okay? I don't need to say that. One day I was in the church office. I just lifted my eye and I saw like a screen in front of me. I saw what was happening in my house. And the lady had removed her top for one of my people at home. So I picked the phone, called him. I called his name. I said, come here now. He said, okay, sir. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. When he entered the office, I didn't need to tell him anything. He looked at me, I looked at him.
My look was gone and seen no more. You had not done anything yet, but... It's not by might. I promise you, it's not by might. Hallelujah. May the Lord keep you. All the traps of the enemy, you will jump over all of them. And the Lord will preserve your testimony. Preserve your consecration. Some of you have been scarred before. You've been fallen. You've fallen before. The Lord has restored you. I told you before, Samson's hair grew back. That is the mercy of God. That is the mercy of God. And so the Lord is sponsoring you by his grace. All that he has asked you to do, you will do. In the mighty name of Jesus. So shall it be. I want to give you a few minutes to pray. Let me tell you something. The reason we have to talk about this, the person standing in front of you is here by grace. He's here by grace. I'm telling you, what saved me that day was disease, the fear of disease. I thought about the fear of God, but that came after. I'm being very honest with you. I want you to cry out to the Lord for help. You see, if you don't know you need strength, you have not seen life. Superman may feel strong until they bring kryptonite. And you want to fly, you cannot fly. You want to run, you cannot run. May the Lord help you. Call out to him and cry to him. The one who said he will make a name for himself with your life, he won't send you without strength. He won't send you without strength. Pray for your future now. Every trap that the enemy may have, anticipate it by the prophetic and let the Lord help you escape. The Lord has provided a way of escape. He has provided a way of escape. He has provided a way of escape. Any plan of the enemy to rob you in guilt so that you cannot speak up for Jesus, let the Lord help you. By his mercy, 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 by his mercy. By his mercy. By his mercy. By his mercy. By his grace. Because I assure you, by strength shall no man prevail. I assure you. I assure you. I assure you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Now listen. One important thing you must take from this meeting is instructions for consecration. Let me surprise you. It is not enough to pray, God, don't let me fall. That's not enough. God must give you instructions for consecration. What are the boundaries that you must prepare in your life? All right? How will you spend your money? How will you spend your money? How will you spend your time? Who are your accountability partners? Let the Lord speak to you. As you worship him right now, let those instructions come to your spirit. If you need to write them down, write them down. 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 Write them down.
There are some industries you can't go into alone. You must have friends in those industries that can keep you accountable. Evangelists, don't let them evangelize you. Write them down. Let the Lord help you. Let the Lord help you. Let the Lord help you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How are you going to handle greed? How are you going to handle ostentatious spending? Change your influences. Where is that desire coming from? To buy clothes you can't afford. To spend money you don't have. Change your influences. You know, and that's the thing you need to understand. God is so good, there will always be good models if you look well. I am telling you. There are people who have money and are decent in their spending. If you look in the right direction, you will find them. You know, I saw an excerpt somewhere. The richest black man was challenging a musician in this country and saying, you've bought another car. Won't you save your money? Won't you? Now, this is the richest black man advising him to save. You see the issue? If you are looking well, there will always be good models. If you look well, who should be advising you? Yeah, you should be advising, but you know, the one who has more is telling someone to save. Hallelujah. There are good models. God is bringing them your way. There is something the Bible calls durable riches and righteousness. I've been telling you that, and you're going to hear it a lot this year because that's the prophecy of your life. Come on, I said that's the prophecy of your life. That you will have money and have character. Please say loud amen. Amen. Where God said, I know Abraham, he will command his children. Meaning, Abraham was very wealthy, but his children still had problems. There are good examples. There are good examples. You know, I had a meeting with a billionaire woman in Abuja. She said, sorry, I'm late. So she was on the road that morning sharing tracks and evangelizing before that meeting. So she came, you know, sweating with her tambourine, say, sorry, I'm late. So let us start. Before she came to the office, she went out. There are good examples if you look. There are good examples. There's another billionaire in this country. He lost his wife, so we're supposed to go and pay a condolence visit. As I entered his sitting room, you know, Sunday evening, I heard his voice loud. He was preaching. He has this fellowship every Sunday evening. I thought the fellowship would not hold that day. I was wrong. He was preaching loud, as if you didn't know, you wouldn't know anything happened to him. Preaching the gospel with loud. There are good examples. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. And God has brought them your way to preserve you. Come on, say loud amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Please stand to your feet as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for raising us as a breed with no greed. A company of men who have durable riches and righteousness. And that for every greatness, you are seeking to commit to our trust. Develop in us the character. That no blessing will elude us just because we were not ready. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let the promise not be delayed because we were not ready. Just like it was said in the days of Joshua, we consecrate ourselves. Preparing ourselves for all the wonderful things God will do. We consecrate ourselves. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Come on, say loud amen. Amen. Come on, I said, say loud amen. Shout glory, glory, glory.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.